And we're back here. We're back here with a guest this morning. We have John Hughey from the Red Barn Theater with us. Good morning, John.
Good morning, Duke. How are you?
Good, good. John, how did you get associated with the Red Barn Theater?
Well, you know, I was the last one out the door.
Oh, really?
And, yeah, my wife snagged me and said, nope, this is where we're going to be. No, actually, my wife, Pat, and I, and a number of other fellows, Bill Henderson and Joe LaCascio and so on, all from the Saugatuck area, were involved in what was originally the Lakeshore Center for the Arts, which is currently the Saugatuck Center for the Arts. And we, in our experience there, found that community theater should be alive and well in West Michigan, and that the Red Barn was available to lease. And the rest is kind of 9 years or 10 years or 7 years worth of history, whatever the math is anyway. We took it in 2006.
I see. Okay. And suddenly you're into it.
That's right. My wife is a theater major from Aquinas College, and she came to Saugatuck. When she talks to me about this, she refers to her time in civilization, which is when she lived in Grand Rapids, and then the rest of her life, which is when she's been here with me in Saugatuck. So she still doesn't refer to Saugatuck as civilization. I think it's because we're not 10 minutes from a Myers or something like that. But anyway, she was a theater major, and we saw that the Red Barn was being converted into an antique shop or something like that.
Yeah.
We're concerned that the community theater spirit would be lost if that thing were lost. So we had a nice chat with Ralph Baker that owns the property, and he agreed to lease us the theater part so that we could continue the history of the Red Barn and get our community theater established and so on, and we're still going strong.
Well, it takes a lot of, stick-to-itiveness to keep the theater going.
Well, yeah, you don't do it for money. You do it for love.
Yeah.
You know, and the Red Barn has been a part of the theatrical history of Southwest Michigan for a long, long time.
Yeah.
It's one of only two barn theaters left in the state of Michigan right now.
Right. We have the one at Augusta and this one, right?
Right. That's the two. And ours was originally, I don't know if you knew this, but the barn that is the original part will be 100 years old next year, so we plan to have a big celebration all year long.
You know, as a kid, I used to play in that barn, you know.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah.
Did you clean out the stalls when they were there?
I didn't clean out the stalls.
Oh.
It wasn't in use.
Oh, I see.
When I played in it, it was just there.
It was just there.
Yeah.
Well, that might have been right around 51, 52, 49, 48, perhaps.
More like in the 30s.
Holy cow. Well, it might have been in the winter then, because, you know, the barn was originally the horse barn for the Belvedere, which is across the street, and that was always a resort. It was called the Belvedere Farm, but no, not really. It was always a resort, and the only thing that ever lived in that barn that we have now were the horses that you rode up and down the highways and byways and Saugatuck with. So
I used to get up in the hay mow there and see where they pitched the hay way down.
Oh, you know what?
Barn.
That's rows D, seat 1, 2, and 3, or 14, 15, and 16.
Is that right?
Oh, yeah, the squares are still there. But if you dropped them down now, you'd probably hit someone in the stall downstairs. We're trying to be very historically accurate with it. So the stalls that held the horses are now the stalls that you use on occasion when you go to the theater.
Right. So whoever made it into a theater, and I think it was Jim Webster originally made it into the theater, and then Jim Dias came along and as a director and had an interesting summer there right off. And
oh, yeah. Started. Well, they had Upjohn behind them, you know, and that was, there's a couple of dollars there. We are not quite.
Well, that's what you really need.
Yeah, we're not blessed with that. We are not concerned about tax bracket creep at the Red Barn right now. But we are anxious to be able to secure the property. You know, we've talked to Ralph in the past about it, and we're going to try and approach him again, perhaps, to buy the property and convert it into a school of theater.
Really?
We would be to theater what Oxbow is in the arts and what Blue Lake or Interlochen are for, singing and music and dancing.
Yeah.
We would be able to teach all of the disciplines of theater, whether it be on stage or backstage, technical, you know, set construction, sound, lights, and all the rest of that. There is a huge interest for that, especially in this area here. We're so blessed with Hope and with all the colleges, really. They've got great theater programs, and then you've got...
And the schools do, too.
Oh, the schools all do it. Oh, gee, I go to Hamilton, or I go to Holland, or I go to the high schools in Fenville, and I have equipment envy.
I mean, these guys have got more stuff on one shelf than I've got in the whole barn, for heaven's sakes. But when we talk to our interns, our interns have been just great this year. And we talked to them. We said, you know, this is the transition. Those who really are going to be part of theater, after you come out of high school in these beautiful, wonderful $40 million theaters with all that equipment, I said, you're more likely to be performing in some red barns.
That's right.
That don't have all that equipment, you know, in the future. So this is a learning experience. This is where you go from high tech to how do we get the show on.
Or it's where some of the actors summer.
That's right.
Also.
Right, right. Well, we're hoping to be able to do that whole thing. You know, the people next door, the Fitches, are strong supporters of the Red Barn. And that is the yellow house that is immediately to the left of the barn as you're facing the front door.
Yeah.
That was originally the farmhouse for the farmers that worked for the Belvedere. It used to be across the street, but they moved it over there. And then I think it was when Dias was there that they had some of the actors that came and spent the summer at the Red Barn would stay in that house, that sort of stuff.
True.
I mean, that whole little thing is a little tiny historic district all by itself.
And some lived in the silo.
Yes, Jim Webster lived in the silo.
Yeah.
And the top floor was his bedroom and so on, and his little closet is still there.
What a view.
Oh, yeah, it really is. I mean, you're looking down the hill. It really is kind of a nice view from there. But he was, you know, he was a skinny little guy. He was like you. He wasn't like me. And he had these little tiny, he was really a professional actor, and he was a body double for some famous guy, and I forget who it was.
Really?
Yeah, and he was very, very slight, and the stairs that go up the three stories of the silo that was his apartment when he bought the place are very narrow, and I have a hard time getting up them sometimes because I'm not quite so narrow.
So what's going on at the Red Barn now?
Well, you know, we have got a show that is opening up tomorrow called Don't Hug Me. It is funnier than a crutch. It is a musical comedy. It is our musical of the year. And it is about a Minnesota bar where the main entertainment is the karaoke machine. Now, in Minnesota, they don't say karaoke. It's karaoke.
Karaoke.
So it's a karaoke machine. And this is just terribly funny. And we've got some wonderful actors in it that are really stepping up to the plate and doing a fine job. They're mastering the Minnesota yas and all the rest of this stuff. And oh, for spitting in the wind, or oh, for sitting on the cat, and all those kinds of cute phrases. It's a wonderful thing for the whole family. The kids will get a charge out of it. And we've got some props that are just outstanding. We've got things from the Saugatuck Gallery owner. He lent us a stuffed wolf head. And we have this moose head, which is just monstrous in size, and it just dominates. It is just so wonderful. So it's going to be a very, very funny show. It's going to be on for the next 2 weekends, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. This is the first time we're running a Thursday show. Normally, we're a Friday, Saturday, Sunday for 3 weekends, and now we're doing it in 2 weekends, 4 days each. So we're anxious to see what kind of...
Hey, we're talking to... friend from the Red Barn here this morning, and if you have a question, you may call us 395-1450. A lot of you don't go to the Red Barn, and I guess we ought to check and see if they can get out there once in a while. How much does it cost to go to the Red Barn?
We, in 2010, because the economy was kind of soft, we took our ticket prices down 20% across the board. So the most expensive ticket at the Red Barn right now is $20, and the least expensive one you can get with a dinner theater package at Coral Gables for a $10 ticket.
Oh, good.
So the ticket range, especially for this show, is Coral Gables. You get dinner and a ticket for $25. If you are in a group of six or more, you get in for $12. Seniors and members of the Lakeshore Arts Alliance get in for $15. And if you can't qualify for any of those things, then go find five friends and come, or pay $20 at the door.
Mm-hmm.
So it's $20 down to $10 based on what package you've got.
Okay. And what time is the ticket office open?
Ticket office is open at about 6:30. We suggest that people get there at about 7 o'clock, and the show will start at 7:30.
And there's plenty of parking?
Plenty of parking, plenty of seats. We have nice treats in the back, you know, little refreshments, waters and pops and things like that, so that you can kind of get into your seat and relax a little bit and talk with one another. Mm-hmm. We've got the whole history of the barn pasted on the walls. We have so much memorabilia that we
I can believe that.
Good selection of it that starts at one side of the at one start of the building and you goes in chronological order all the way around back to the other side of the building. So you can spend some time looking at that.
Yeah.
See
yeah.
the history of it and so on.
How many people are involved in the situation right now in the Red Barn?
Well, we've got 10 members on our board of directors, a little more than 100 members in our general membership. The play's got a half a dozen actors in it and four or five stagehands.
Got a caller on the line here. Good morning, online with our guest.
Hi, good morning. Some years ago, you had Gilbert and Sullivan at the Red Barn. Would that be something you could do in the future?
Oh, sure. Sure, we'd love to do that sort of thing. You know, the musicals, the only hold up on the musicals is oftentimes they have some pretty expensive royalties with them. So we have to plan them carefully and make sure that we get good participation from the audience.
Well, I'd love to have you give Gilbert and Sullivan again sometime.
Well, the idea is the person that you call the Red Barn at 269-857-5300. And the person that answers the phone is she who must be obeyed, my wife, Patricia. And you tell her what you'd like to have. She's in charge of programming, and she'll work with you on anything.
Well, that sounds good. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Bye-bye.
All right. Any other questions, give us a call, 395-1450. And we have the resource person here to answer the questions on the Red Barn. So if you have anything in mind that maybe you've been out to the Red Barn once upon a time and wonder what it's like now. Well, it's just about the same, I guess, isn't it?
Boy, it's not very much different. We have vacuumed off the seats in the last 25
That's
years.
That's nice, too.
Yeah, I know it. I know it. It's the old barn looks pretty much like the old barn. We do have, we've installed air conditioning and heating so that we can go a little further into mm-hmm. the season and so on. For those of you that remember the Red Barn before any of that conditioning was there, you knew that if it was 100 degrees outside, it was 110 degrees inside.
That's right.
Now it's only 105 degrees inside because we've got this nice cold air blowing into it. It's still a barn, however.
Yeah.
In the wintertime, you know, we have gone down. Did you ever see the lower level, the theater downstairs?
Yes.
Well, that is where we operate in the winter.
Oh, I see.
So we stay open on a year-round basis. We have these wonderful radio shows in the wintertime with a lot of the local folks that come in. And the nice thing about that is that there's not a lot of choreography, and you don't have to memorize a lot of lines because you got your lines right in front of you.
Oh, God. Got another call here. Good morning. You're online with our guest.
Hi. I was at the Red Barn last year, and the transformation in the movie theater part was just excellent, and the show was just excellent also. So I just wanted to put my two cents in there, and I had a wonderful time.
Well, thank you very much. Be sure and come back and see Don't Hug Me, and you'll continue to have a wonderful time.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye. All right. 395-1450 is our number here if you had want to know anything about the Red Barn here, and we'd be happy to divulge any secrets we might have.
Did I mention the film series that we have every Tuesday
night? Let's do that.
Every Tuesday night, year-round, we have an educational film series where we have a host that studies the film that we're showing and tells you all sorts of great little tidbits that you need if you're playing movie trivia or something.
What type
of
films do you show?
Mostly old things.
Yeah.
In fact, the one coming up next Tuesday is a silent black and white. We've started doing a silent film at
Charlie
the end
Chapman.
Of each month. Well, I don't think it's going to be. I'm not sure which.
Something like that.
Is. Yeah, it's going to be something like that. Black and white silent film night is what it says.
Okay.
So that's all the information.
Well, they have to explain it to you.
I don't know. They don't give me so much information. They probably are afraid that I'll exaggerate.
Well, I recall on Monday nights when the theater was going that one summer, I did a kind of Mr. First Nighter and interviewed people before the show.
We have Andrew Plummer doing that now.
Oh, that's a good idea. Good morning. You're online with our guest.
Yes, I am calling. I was there when they did the Buddy Holly. That was the first time I had ever been to the Red Barn. That was very, very good. I really enjoyed it. And the Red Barn was shocked in how it looked on the inside. Really, really nice.
Well, I'm glad you like it.
Again, definitely, for sure.
Well, be sure and come see this one.
When is this one, then?
It starts tomorrow night.
Oh!
Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Yep, it's a musical comedy called Don't Hug Me.
Oh, okay. What time?
7:30.
Okay.
Get to the box office at 7 o'clock so you get a good seat.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
How many seats do you have?
We've got 250 seats upstairs and 75 seats downstairs.
Okay. And you'd like to fill them all up?
We'd love to. We're trying to change things around a little bit. We're taking the last six rows of seats out and putting in four top tables so that people that would prefer to sit at a table, you know, with their glass of pop or pretzel or something like that would be able to do that. All the seats there are good, so it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
So we're going to try that and see if we can't make it a little homier. That way, we lose six seats that way, but I guess I'll worry about those six seats when we sell out every night.
Right.
I've got folding chairs. I've got six folding chairs.
We can always improvise.
That's right. We'll find a way. We'll add a night if we have to.
Yes. I remember when I used to do the Mr. First Nighter there at the theater. I'd go into the dressing rooms and talk to the actors and actresses as well. It was kind of interesting.
Oh, it's wonderful. That's what community theater is all about. Yeah. You know, they come out at the end of the show and they talk to the people and so on. And we're happy to take people through. Our hope next year is to have it be part of an historic tour where people will be able to come to the Red Barn and see a rehearsal or see what goes on. See what the inner workings of a community theater, what it's all about. They'd be surprised. It's really quite, it's interesting and it's amazing how much work it takes to put a show on.
Oh, it takes a lot of work.
Unbelievable.
I know that. Okay. Hey, we're going to take a moment out for a word, and we'll be right back with our guest. If you have a question, 395-1450. We've got a question right now. Let's take that first. Good morning. You're online with our guest.
Yes, I was just curious if they serve alcoholic beverages.
If they what?
Serve alcoholic.
If they serve alcoholic beverages.
No, we do not.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. So you got to enjoy the show all the way.
Well, you got to enjoy the show all the way from beginning to end. If we were to purchase the place, it's likely that we would get a liquor license because we'd like to be able to do some dinner theater things in the in the current pole barn and so on. And I think that there are times when some of our patrons would like to be able to sip on a glass of wine and eat a crumpet or something like that, and we'd be happy to accommodate them.
The Red Barn kind of sat there and was not operating, and kind of a shame, it seemed like. I'm glad to see you back there again.
Yeah, it was for a while. It was an equity theater for quite a long time, which means that the actors were all paid, and they got paid union scale and so on. And that's why the tickets were so expensive. That's why it's expensive at some of the other places, too. In addition to the royalties, if you've got to be paying the actors, then that gets to be quite a pricey thing. But we've been a community theater since we started, and that works for us. We're a nonprofit corporation, so we're able to take donations and things like that. And there are a lot of people that have fond memories of the Red Barn and what it's meant to the community and all that sort of thing. And our historical society's enthusiastic supporters of ours, and the women's club and the art club and so on. We have art programs in there from time to time and displays of artwork and so on. So we have good support throughout the community.
That's good. And I guess you'd continue to have good support, that being a part of an art community, so to speak,
right.
Saugatuck. And they've always been, I remember when I was just a little kid going down to Saugatuck and seeing people on the street painting pictures, you know.
Right, and puppeteers and so on. We plan to bring puppeteering back. We've got Paul Gunneman and Andrew Plummer, our intern director.
Okay.
The two of them are going to be putting together a puppetry show. They're both artists in their own right and able to do that sort of thing. So we're going to be continuing, especially in 2014, to replicate the historic Red Barn Theater, the way that the events that were there. We're not going to have the puppets up on the top of the building. We're going to have it somewhere else in the area. But we do want to, harken back to the old days when life was simpler and you used to, everybody would get together and go to the barn and have a good time.
Yeah, I remember Don Bonovich used to put on the puppet shows with...
Oh, he's a great guy.
Yeah.
And he and Mary Ohlendorf, they have both been interviewed by Plummer, by Andrew, and by Paul, and we are documenting a lot of the memorabilia that they have, and we'll be able to be displaying that and so on. We expect to have quite a wonderful 100th-year birthday with an awful lot of great, interesting things to see and do and all that sort of stuff to kind of get into the spirit of the theater and maybe get them to loosen up their purse strings a little bit.
Yeah.
Help us buy the place.
Okay. Do you operate every week?
We do. Year-round.
And different people play every week? Or
No, we probably have, we put on a half a dozen plays a year, and we have another maybe a dozen concerts. We have troops that come in. We have the Pigeon Creek Shakespeare. They come in for a half a dozen shows a year. They bring us all sorts of wonderful Shakespeare stuff. And then we have musical groups that come in. We've had the Echelons and the Addams Family. Last week we did a Pat Benatar tribute. We had a tribute band in for that. So we have a variety of different kinds of entertainment that goes on there in addition to our films that we have every Tuesday night year-round.
Mm-hmm.
So, and the radio shows. The radio shows in the winter are just a blast. You know, people that really wouldn't want to be up on stage will do a radio show, and they have more darn fun than a barrel of monkeys, I'm telling you.
I saw one of those at WGN one time, everybody standing around the microphone and
doing
the show.
Yeah. Pat and I, she who must be obeyed, and I have this ongoing conversation because I like to have all the actors dress up in costumes and all that. She says, this is radio, you shouldn't see them. And I said, but we have a house full of guests and they do see them. So anyway, we get around. I usually win out. They wear hats. So,
oh, they wear hats.
Yeah, but if not, then too bad for me. But yeah. It is a lot of fun when they can stand up.
But right now we have this show going on. It'll start Thursday night.
Yep, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday for the next 2 weekends.
And that's called Please Hug Me?
Don't Hug Me.
Don't Hug Me.
Don't Hug Me.
I guess I wanted to reverse it.
Well, that's right. That's right. Well, maybe we should write a new show. No, Don't Hug Me. It's very, very funny, musical comedy, good for all ages. Everybody will get a kick out of it.
Has that run on Broadway or off-Broadway at all?
Yeah, I think it is. It's well, the royalties indicate to me that it's probably a well-received show.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, we pay more. If we have to pay more, then it's not brand new out of the gate.
Of course.
It's done by Phil and Paul Olson, the Olson brothers. They probably wrote it right up there in Minnesota.
Uh-huh.
So,
very good.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun.
So you have to learn how to talk Minnesotan.
Yeah, a lot of yaws in there and all that sort of stuff. I see. Oh, for sitting on the cat is one of the lines.
I recall from Minnesota, from the book I read about Minnesotan, when you go to a dinner, you bring a covered dish.
Right. Hey, we don't have to take that any further.
Don't have to bring a covered dish.
No, none of that.
Is the downstairs open too to guests?
Yep. The downstairs is where the restrooms are.
Okay.
When we buy the place, this is the deal I'll make. Now, if we are able to get the support that we need so that we can buy that place, I promise to put two restrooms on the same floor as the big theater.
That'd be a good idea.
It is so difficult to get down those narrow stairs downstairs. Yeah. The restrooms are fine, but it's getting there and getting back up that's tough.
Yeah.
So if we had them right off the main floor there, that would be great. That's what we'd like to do. I make that promise. That's
all
my
right.
pledge.
Well, look forward to the show next Thursday.
You bet.
Thank you very much. Very, very much, John, for being our guest this morning here on our Talk of the Town program.
Thanks a lot, Juke. Talk to you soon.